Right. Welcome again, everybody. Why don't you start making your way back to your seats? So welcome to another Sunday of considering how God wants us to be known in the world. And we have this anchoring passage that I keep going back to in Matthew 5. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And we're asking, what does exactly Jesus mean by that? What does it mean to let your light shine? What does that look like? And what does the Bible tell us it ought to look like? In this statement, Jesus is saying that our faith in him is not meant to be private. It's not just something we declare for ourselves and keep quiet about. It's meant to be visible to the world in a couple of different ways. First of all, faith in Jesus just naturally changes you. It changes the choices you make, changes the way you view the world, the way that you live, and so people are going to notice those things. And it's good to let people know why you've made those changes. What has motivated you to be so different? And we also see a call to seek out ways to let people know those good things that God has done in our lives. We make our faith visible to others, not because we want to control them, not because we want to make them do something, right? It's because we understand that this faith we have in the Lord, the creator of all things, is meant for everyone. God loves everyone. He desires everyone to know. And so we want to do our part to just let them know how wonderful this is. If our faith in the Lord is going to be overflowing out of our lives, and we just want to let that spill onto people all around us so that they can know him too. So again, how do we let this light shine through us? Today I'd like to start with another passage in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go back to the letter I had started this series with in a different chapter. So if you recall, in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul was speaking about proper boasting in the Lord. And you can review those messages if you like about when it's appropriate to express who we are in Christ and what we can boast about. Now, a couple of chapters before that, Paul actually boasts about another church. And he highlights some things that he wants to make known about them. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And if someone would be willing, I'd love to have somebody come up here and read that for us to start things off. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Do I have a volunteer? It really doesn't take that much courage, honestly, because you have a group of people here who just love you, and they're going to have all kinds of grace for you. Lynn's going to come on up. Great.
Oh, it's bigger on yours. No, this is better. I can see it better.
Okay.
2, 5. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us.
So there are two traits about this church in Macedonia that Paul highlights in this passage. And he boasts about them. He talks about their abundance of joy and their generosity. I'm going to cover these two, one of them today and then the other next week as we focus in on these things. But this church had an abundance of joy that was particularly important to express because it was in spite of some great affliction that they were suffering. Their joy in the Lord was greater than their suffering, and it overflowed out of their lives. They recognized that the benefit of knowing the Lord far exceeds what the world can take away from them. We don't know exactly what this affliction was, but from our understanding, they were probably experiencing a great deal of persecution from the people around them. And yet despite that, and they were very poor people. Yet not in spite of all that, they had an abundance of joy. The prophet Habakkuk expresses the same kind of joy in his writings. In Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, we read, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no flood, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." And so Habakkuk was expressing that even if every material thing is taken away, everything fails around me, I will still rejoice in the Lord because of the salvation he's given me. Now, these people are not delusional. They're not just ignoring the bad things and putting on a strong front to make themselves feel joy. No, it's because they had their eyes heavenward. They saw the Lord. They knew the Lord, and the joy of knowing him just was so much more overwhelming than all the negative things they could experience in life. Their joy was the kind of joy expressed in Psalm 118, 1 through 9. I'm going to go ahead and read that as well, if you'd like to follow along. Psalm 118. Verses 1 through 9 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Abram, or the Aaron, say, let his steadfast love endure forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes." These are people who understand that the Lord is far greater than all the things in life. And they had this joy. This abundant and enduring joy is meant to be the mark of someone who knows the Lord and lives in the goodness of being a child of God. We see this expressed in all kinds of places throughout the Bible, all kinds of expressions of joy and numerous reminders to rejoice in him. And I just want to highlight a few of those. First of all, there are a few places that Paul tells us to rejoice always. Philippians 4:4 simply says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, he writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So he says it's the will of God that you would rejoice and pray and give thanks in all circumstances. Again, throughout the Psalms, we read about rejoicing in the Lord. Psalm 71, 22 and 23 says, "I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed." And in Psalm 18:11, we read, "You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So these two psalms express some gifts that we receive through our faith in Jesus. We receive redemption, forgiveness of sin. We receive God's presence. We can see his wisdom being given to us. We see his faithfulness to us, his love that endures all things. Such joy to be had in the knowledge of all those things. Just think about the fact that you know God's presence with you always. You are never alone. God is with you. And think about the fact that he accepts you regardless of anything that you have experienced in your life. Those are hard truths to accept sometimes, but they are the declaration of God that he loves us and accepts us and receives us and desires to be with us and wants and has already offered us forgiveness of sin. You don't get those things at the level that God provides from anywhere else in the world. What joy there is in just knowing the Lord and all that he provides us. Now, James gives us a challenge in expressing our joy. James chapter 1, and James is writing to a people who are experiencing, again, some persecution. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And so James encourages us to find joy even when your faith is being tested in many ways. Now, I know we all know what a challenge that can be. The testing can be intense and can be difficult. But the result that comes from it is a perseverance, a clinging more to the Lord, an understanding who God is at a greater level than we've ever known before. So maturity and strength of faith and deeper wisdom come through testing. So there's joy to be found when God allows struggles to come into your life. They are meant to guide you into a deeper understanding of who He is. Not only that, but finding joy in difficult times helps you to endure and find your way out of that darkness. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones." So having joy in your heart can be healing. It can help you see the light in the darkness. And as I wrote that, I recall the time years ago when our oldest son, Nate, was just a little boy. I remember how old he was when he went down to see Carrie. Was even a year, what? 20 months old, maybe. And my sister Carrie had just suffered a great loss in her life, and we went down together as a family. And Nate, being this little boy, he loved to make people laugh, and he just spent the day making Carrie laugh with his antics. And it didn't take away or deny the suffering that was going on, but it just brought light and allowed everyone to see that there is still hope in the world. There is still good to be found. Joy is healing in itself. It helps us to see the light. It helps us to focus a little bit more in that dark moment of what can come, the hope that we have that lies ahead. Now, of course, we know that there are things in this world that do produce a great deal of pain and suffering and sadness. Rejoicing in the Lord never denies that. And there is a time, of course, for tears and sorrow. When we talk about having joy in the Lord, we're not talking about smiling and laughing constantly and ignoring the tears that come. In fact, Paul, who's the one who told us to rejoice always, also writes in Romans, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." But even as we mourn and weep and cry, there can be joy found in the Lord. Because we know that He's present, we know that He cares, and we know that He heals and provides hope for the future. He is greater than the circumstances that cause suffering and pain. There's joy that comes from our hope in our living Savior as we look beyond those circumstances. Psalm 94 expresses joy that God can bring through the dark times. It says, "When I said, 'My foot is slipping,' Your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, Your consolation brought me joy." We can see God's provision as He holds us up through those dark times, and there's joy to be found in that. And finally, Revelation 21:4 speaks about the future hope of God's restoration of all things, the ultimate joy that we can find in life, even when everything else seems to be going bad. It says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no more mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." There is such joy to be found in the Lord as we keep our eyes on Him. And all of these passages and so many more in the Bible express all these places that we can find joy in the Lord in every moment. And it's something we need to be actively looking for. We need to see God in His goodness. If we keep our eyes on Him, if we remember to think of Him in every circumstance, that's where the joy will come from. It's not something we need to force on ourselves, but we do need to be actively thinking about, where does God fit into this situation? How do I see his goodness in these moments? It's valuable for our faith, our own personal faith, and our hearts to develop this joy in all situations. But the question I really want to get to today, though, is why is this something we should make known to other people? And can't your joy just be something you enjoy for yourself? You take joy in the Lord and you just celebrate it whenever you're by yourself. And yes, you should. But why are we talking about it in terms of letting it be known to others, letting your light shine? Why does it matter to anyone else that you be a joyful person? So they can be a joyful person too. That's absolutely right. Yep. And that's what we need to think about, is how are we demonstrating our faith in the Lord when we're out in the world around other people? As we consider being known in the world, I see joy in the Lord as an important part of our expression of knowing who God is. It says something about how you view God and where your hope lies. Are you looking at the situation right in front of you as more powerful and more overwhelming than the Lord himself? If our eyes are heavenward, we're going to see the goodness that he provides. We're going to see opportunity and hope, even in the difficult things. You communicate where your focus is. You communicate what you know about God in the way you express yourself around other people. And if you can express joy in him, it says something to the people you're interacting with about where your faith lies, where your hope is, and why. As Wendy read earlier, why are you smiling, right? And it comes sometimes just because you know the Lord. You can't keep it in. You can't, right. Right. If we're so filled with the knowledge of God, we can't keep it in. But it's important to think about when we're out in the world, are we expressing that? Are we showing people who the Lord is? Being a joy-filled person in the midst of all kinds of other complaining shines especially bright. It's just one more way of letting your light shine. Now, as I thought about this, and as we talked about this week, there's an example, a real-life example that we just experienced in the past couple weeks here in Minnesota. When those temperatures drop down to negative 17 or below, right? It's pretty miserable. And it's cold and it's hard. And what's our natural reaction a lot of times in those situations? We grumble and we complain. I'm like, why do I live here? Why can't it be warmer? And of course, everyone around you is going to join in that, right? My face hurts, right? Why do I have to live in a place that hurts my face, right? But what if, even when it's that cold and your face hurts and it's hard to live in, your eyes are heavenward. And you're like, you know, I am so thankful that the Lord provides me ways to survive in this kind of environment. Or, you know, spring is right around the corner, and God brings renewal to life. And it's so cool to live in a place where we experience things like winter and the stark contrast of the life of spring and how that teaches us about God's renewal in our lives. And what if we're expressing the marvel of God's creation? And as we think about the crystallization of water and what that does and all the things that God put into this world that we get to experience, what if we're so full of joy, even in those difficult circumstances, that we start speaking about those things? What does that do to the people around you who are complaining? Or the freezing bulbs under the ground that are going to turn in bulbs into beautiful flowers. Right. Right. That's a necessary part of the flower's growth, that they would freeze. There's so many joyful things to see. If our eyes are heavenward, if we're full of the presence of God, we'll express that kind of joy. And that expression of joy, especially when everyone else has reason to complain and you yourself have reason to complain, has an impact on people's lives. It causes people to look at you in a different way and say, what is it about them that makes them so joyful when I'm so miserable? How is it that they're able to see the good things in this situation? And it may cause them to ask some questions and give you opportunity to say, well, it's not, you know, if it weren't for the Lord, I'd be right there with you. But I have hope in him. I have joy in him. So expressing joy gives you the opportunity to be that light in people's lives. Joy produces hope. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are just full of the hope of the Lord, it's going to fill you with that joy. And as that joy overflows from your life, it's going to feed hope into other people's lives. And I'm going to tell you, there is an immense need of hope. If you don't know this already, people in our world, especially today, right now, are struggling to find any hope. They don't know where to find hope. I was reflecting on this just this morning that, you know, our world is, there are all kinds of people in the world struggling through all kinds of mental, emotional, physical challenges in life who don't know where to turn for hope. And we are now at a time, our world has gone in such that we have a generation of people who are now becoming adults who have known nothing but emptiness and lack of hope and lack of purpose. They don't know where, they don't even know how else to live. And so they may come across as being confident and being thinking they understand how things are supposed to work, but really deep down, they don't know how valuable they are. They don't know how much they mean to the Lord. They don't know how good life could be with God. They don't know where lasting joy and hope come from. And we have an opportunity. It really isn't that difficult to just shine light, hope, into people's life as we express joy in the Lord for our lives. If you understand who God is and how he's working in your life, you know that you have a purpose. You know that you're not alone. You know that you have been redeemed and there's nothing in your life that can come up against the Lord and say that you're unworthy. So many people don't know any of those things to be true about themselves. As we express joy in the Lord for those gifts, we have an opportunity to bring hope to people's lives. You can overflow into their lives. Finally, I want to go back to Jesus' words at the beginning about shining your light. He says that as you let your light shine, you create opportunities for people to glorify God as well. Luke 15:7 says there is a celebration in heaven for every person who repents and turns to the Lord. He writes, I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So as we think about expressing our joy, letting our joy be known, I also consider the opportunity God gives us as we express his light to people, that they may turn to God and give thanks, and they may repent of their sin and walk by faith in him. And we, by being joyful people ourselves, create opportunities for more joy to be experienced in that person's life and joy to be experienced in heaven itself. As the angels sing, as the Lord celebrates another life saved. Another reason for us to be joy as we bring more joy into the world. So rejoice always in the Lord. Let the knowledge of him and what he's done for you overflow into your heart. And I do pray, I really do pray that if you don't know that joy, that God could reveal to you who he is and how much he loves you in a new way, that it could be lasting. And I pray that this church family could help you understand that as well, that God would work through us as we connect with you to break through any misunderstanding you may have of what God may have against you. He holds nothing against you. He loves you unconditionally and desires to be with you. I just pray that you may know the fullness of God's love so that your joy may be complete. and that your joy would overflow so that you can express it to other people's lives. But as we go out into the world, let's think about how we're expressing ourselves. How are we expressing our knowledge of God? And how many opportunities does God give us just by being joyful to let our light shine? So let's take joy today in the Lord. And remember to think about how you can express that joy and love to God as we think about the Share the Love event as well. Take some time today to write some of those thoughts down. So let's give thanks to the Lord for all he does. And may our hearts be full with joy today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your unending love, Lord. And I thank you that you never give up on us. There are so many times, Lord, where we question our worth, our value, our ability to serve you, Lord. But you never do. And I pray that you would help us all to realize your goodness, your perseverance, your love for us that never ends. And may that fill our hearts constantly, Lord. I know that there are people here who are struggling, Lord. May you meet them in those hard moments. And show them the hope that comes as they endure and loving you and holding on to you. May you give them a glimmer of joy even in the hard times. And may we as a church, Lord, express our joy openly as we go out into the world, so that others may see that joy and see the hope that comes from it. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name.